Thank you, Karen. If you have your Bibles tonight, and I hope you do, turn with me to the book of John, chapter 16. John, chapter 16. Put your finger there. And then also go to the Old Testament, to Jeremiah, chapter 17. John, chapter 14. Also, Jeremiah, chapter 17. I sure appreciate everyone coming back tonight because you love me. I appreciate that this morning, Brother Tony. And I just want to let Brother Tony know how great of a job he did this last weekend with the youth rally and everything, and Brother Bob did a great job, and I was glad, in fact I was thankful, I was happy to be able to go back to my youth pastor days and enjoy this last weekend. I told several, I miss being a youth pastor sometime after weekends like this. It was so much fun, and I sure appreciate Brother Tony and Brother Bob and all the work that they did. And I want to also give a shout out to our teenagers. I love our teenagers. I'm so thankful for them. Thank you for how you supported and how you responded to the message, especially yesterday, Dr. Shetler's message on being all in. And I pray that that's just not a spur-of-the-moment decision. I pray that's something you stick with for the rest of your life. And be all in for God, because it's worth it. And it just excited me, and I'm so thankful for just a great weekend. Well, I know you're tired. I am too. So let's try to get through this as quick as we can, okay? My wife told me tonight, she just said, honey, remember KISS. And she wasn't telling me she wanted to give me a kiss. That's not what she said. She said, keep it short, stupid. So I love my wife. Have you ever heard of a man by the name of Waylon Prendergast? Waylon Prendergast. Some of you probably have. Now, I know many of you probably heard of Waylon Jennings. Yeah. But this man, at the age of 37 years old from Tampa, Florida, had been out drinking one night when he decided to rob a house on his way home. The drunken man forced his way into a house, filled a suitcase he found there with valuables he discovered, and made his way to the living room. In his stupor, he decided, you know what, I think it would be a good idea if I set a fire here in the living room to cover my tracks. That's what he did. He ignited a flame, a blaze, before making his way out the back door. Now, he went down the alley and thought that maybe he was home free, and he kind of was still stuporing around trying to figure out where he was and what he was doing, and then he finally came to himself a little bit, came around the corner, and he noticed that there were three fire trucks that were sitting outside of his home. Yes, he was thinking that he was home free, continued to his house only to find those three fire trucks parked outside, fighting the blaze that he had set to his own home. According to a study published in the Washington Post just a few years ago, one-third of American adults admit that they have now or have had a past problem with drinking. And by the way, let me remind you that alcohol is a drug. The Bible describes alcoholic drinks as being deceitful for a reason. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 20, in verse number 1, wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Our society has a significant problem with alcohol and drug misuse, and no one starts out intending to become addicted. But nonetheless, it happens. No one decides to bring on the mess that we often find ourselves involved in. No one needs a stubborn habit just to make it through the day. But that's where people are today. All of us have things in our life that we didn't necessarily plan. But often we find ourselves in a crisis of consequences. And many times people don't get help until the consequences get so heavy that they feel like or they have to do something about it. Now, none of those people who realize they have a problem with an addiction intended to become alcoholics or dependent on their next drug or their next drink to make it through the day. But that's where the path ends. And let me just add that Stubborn habits do have consequences. Addiction does have consequences. It has consequences spiritually. It has consequences financially. And it also has marital consequences as well. One of our core truths that we have in Bridge to Recovery, we have 12 of them, and we don't call them steps, we call them core truths, because all of these truths come from God's Word. And that's what makes it so great. We put all emphasis on God's Word to help us with recovery. We're not at 12 step, we're 12 principles, or 12 core truths is what we call them. But core truth number two says this: I will never make progress until I become honest about my struggle. And in Bridge to Recovery, we help people find freedom. Now, let me just kind of do a little sidebar here. What's the difference between freedom and sobriety? Well, we believe that sobriety is something that that people get marks for, get ribbons for, get coins for. What sobriety is that you have an addiction and you just basically say no to this addiction over and over and over and over, and sometimes maybe 10, 12, 15, 20 years. But then you still have the urges to continue that addiction, whether it's alcohol or drugs or whatever it is. And we don't believe that that is the way God works. We believe in freedom. And I'd like to show you a verse that the Bible talks about in John chapter 14 and verse number 6 that says this: Jesus saith, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now, we know that Jesus is the way. We know that He is the way to the Father. We know He's the way to heaven. And we're very thankful for that. I hope that you're here tonight and you've accepted Jesus Christ as the only way to get to heaven. And He is the only way to get to heaven. And all of God's people said, amen. But you know what? He's the only way also through getting victory over your addiction. If you look over, just back over a few pages to John chapter 8, which I'd like for you just to turn back there as a little bit of a reference, John chapter 8, and look with me in verse number 32, John chapter 8, the Bible says, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now let's look at that verse again. In fact, let's read it out together, okay? Here it is. Let's say it together. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now, let's look down in verse number 36. If the Son therefore make you free, ye shall be free indeed. If anyone is going to get freedom from any stubborn habit or addiction in their life, they're only going to do it one way, and that way is through the person of Jesus Christ. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. Amen. And you're not gonna make it anywhere until you realize those three things. You realize that from what Jesus said here in John 14, you have three questions everybody needs to know in their lifetime. Number one, how can I be saved? It's only by Jesus. How can I be sure? Jesus said, I am the truth. And the third thing, how can I be satisfied? And that is when Jesus said, I am the life. Let me tell you something. People today are trying to find everything in the book today to find satisfaction. They'll find it through relationships. They'll find it through sports. They'll find it through money. They'll find it through lust. They'll find it through pornography. They'll find it through drugs. They'll find it through alcohol. Everybody in here is trying to find something to satisfy you. And let me tell you something, only Jesus satisfies. He's the only way. He's the only one. And if we can help people find anything, we just want them to show them Jesus. We just want them to lead them to Jesus. And like the testimony said, man, I enjoy those testimonies. It's through Jesus. You know, God's grace never leads to bondage. Many of us think that we're in control of our alcohol or drugs, or maybe even our anger, or maybe our bitterness, or maybe our dirty mouth. And sadly, it often takes a long time to realize that awful truth. And many times, by the time that we understand the strength and the chains of addiction that hold us, you know what? We're too heavily bound. And then that, let me tell you something. At that time is when we say, oh, I just can't go to addiction. I just can't go to an addiction. I just can't go to Bridge Recovery. What are people going to think? I mean, what will people think if I show up on a Friday night? I'll tell you what we're going to think. Somebody loves Jesus and wants to grow in their nurture and admonition of the Lord. You know, I tell everybody, especially from the people that come to VOA on Friday night, because, well, let me tell you something. Bridge to Recovery is an important ministry, but it's no more important than what the local church that you that are here tonight, loving and caring for the people that have these addictions and have these stubborn habits, and all they're needing is some hope. And where do they find hope? They find it in Jesus, but they also find it in your lives as well, by you just loving them. I tell them every Friday night, there's only one thing you're going to find at Worth Baptist Church from the people at Love Baptist Church. You're not going to find judgment. Amen. People are not going to judge you here. We're not here to judge. There's only one judge, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. He judges the heart. The only thing that they're going to find here on Friday night and on Sunday morning in Overcomers and on Sunday morning here in the worship service is that they're going to find love from God's people. And that's what they need. That's what they need. They don't need somebody to say, oh, what? Look what they're wearing. They don't need somebody to say, well, they can't sit still on a message. We don't need people to say, well, can't they just stand still? Can't they just quit talking? They need hope. Amen. And where are they going to get that hope? I hope they'll get it from God's people. The Bible gives us a truth that we want to look at in the conclusion of the message. Let me just show you another passage of Scripture. And over in Jeremiah chapter 7, this is going to be it. We're going to be done. I'm going to promise my wife I'll be done by 7. Jeremiah chapter 17. Now, I was planning on just preaching this tonight. The Lord had laid 3 messages on my heart this week. Brother Tony told me don't preach all 3. This is the one that the Lord kind of laid on my heart. Jeremiah chapter 17. This is probably the most famous chapter of all of Jeremiah. We know Jeremiah was called the weeping prophet. He was crying all the time. Sometimes I can relate. This chapter could also be divided, and I'm going to give you a little snippet of a message that I have written down in the first few verses. Israel, the sin of Israel, they had a divided heart, they had a departed heart, they had a devoted heart, and then they had a deceitful heart. But I want to just pull out one verse, and that's in verse number 5. And can you look at it with me for just a minute? The Bible says, thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. Let's break down. I like to call this dissect and define. Some people say that. I like to ponder and process, think and process this out. And I think that's good with Bible, as we study the Bible, just instead of just reading it sometimes, what we ought to do is stop and ponder exactly what it's saying and really get a Webster's 1828 dictionary out and really see what the words are saying. But the first thing it says here is, cursed be the man. Cursed be the man. But before that, there's something else that I want you to notice as well. Thus saith the Lord. Anytime we see something that the Lord says, we need to take notice of it, right? Isn't that a good thought? Thus saith the Lord. Anything the Lord says, we need to stop and say, all right, what is God telling me? What do I need to apply to my heart? What do I need to not let go one ear out and go out the other ear? We need to let it not only get in our mind, but also get in our hearts. He says, thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man. Now, what does that mean? Well, you remember when you were a kid, we wanted to put curses on people and we go, woo, 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 boom. We'd put a curse on them. That's not what it means. Okay? It really means, and I looked this up, and this is exactly what it means. I really like this. It means to execrate, afflicted, vexed, or tormented. But I like the second definition better. And listen to this. Devoted to destruction. Devoted to destruction. So the Lord is telling us here that hey, listen, cursed or devoted to destruction is the man that puts his trust in man. What does that mean? That means that if we rely upon somebody else's help for our stubborn habits or addictions, then we are what? Devoted or doomed to what? Destruction. Let me tell you something. I can't help you. Our leaders can't help you. Now, we can be an encouragement. We want to be that. That's what we are here for. We want to show you love. We want to show you the way. We want to show you the truth. We want to show you the life. But God's the one who changes. He's the one who changes hearts. He's the one who changes the consequences and the actions of everybody's. Hey, listen, you put your faith, you put your trust in man, guess what's going to happen? You're doomed to destruction. All right? So he that trusts in that. Then it says, and to maketh flesh his arm. Now, what in the world does that mean? Maketh flesh his arm? Well, flesh is just talking about our human nature. We're all, in our human nature, we're sinners. Isn't that right? And this is the idea about the arm of the flesh. Now, I want you to know, I worked for 58 years for that. No, it's talking about where our flesh or our human nature is our strength. When it talks about arm, it's talking about strength there, okay? And what does that mean? That means that, listen, if I think that I can do it myself, I don't need anybody's help. I can overcome this stubborn habit. I can overcome this addiction. I don't need anybody's help. Then guess what the Bible says? Cursed, the Lord says, you are what? Cursed. You're doomed to destruction. You're doomed to destruction. But there's one more. Look at the last part of that verse. And whose heart departeth from the Lord. Huh. Whose heart is departed from the Lord. Now, right now, we're in a series. And let me just put a little commercial break here, okay? You want to grow in your relationship with the Lord? Come on Friday nights. I'm in a series right now talking about the matter of the heart. What is the heart? What is it talking about? The Bible speaks a lot about the heart, and it's not this muscle right now that's pumping blood all over your body. Okay? Our heart is really the center of our being. It's where our desires, our emotions are housed. And when it talks about the heart, it's talking about our mind, our will, and our emotions. It's really honestly talking about what a person thinks, what a person decides or chooses, and what a person feels. So as this is saying, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. As I mentioned a while ago, Judah had departed. They had departed from the Lord, and guess what happened? The Lord sent them into bondage. But doesn't God say in Proverbs chapter 3 that Deshaun mentioned a while ago in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, where it says, "Trust in the Lord and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge," say it with me, "him, and he will do what?" That verse, we have it so memorized, we know it, we can say it backwards, forwards, but when are we going to apply it to our hearts and start living it? The Bible tells us if I trust in the Lord, not depart from the Lord, but trust in the Lord, he will do what? First of all, I got to acknowledge him. So many people with their addictions, they don't want to acknowledge Jesus. Oh yes, Jesus can be our Savior and give us eternal life. But many people don't think that he can deliver you from a stubborn habit or addiction. Jesus is saying, I can do that. Jesus is saying, I want to do that. And so many people that come to Friday nights and man, God's just doing some really great things. And I'm so thankful for it. And we need more people. We need some volunteers desperately. Desperately need some volunteers to help. In fact, I'm almost at the point of pleading, please. Many people come and they try it, but they don't surrender everything to God. They don't yield everything to God. They get frustrated. And that's where a good encourager will come in. Say, you can do this. You can do this. Stay with it. Don't just come 2 or 3 weeks and forget it. Stay with it because it takes time. You didn't get in your addiction overnight, and you're not going to get out of it overnight. But as you give one day to the Lord, and you take that one step of faith, and you do your devotions for one day, and you do your Bible reading, and you do your meditation of your memory verses and stuff like that. And that's four things we ought to do on a day, on every week of our life, every day. We ought to read the Bible. We ought to study the Bible. We ought to memorize the Bible. We ought to meditate on the Bible. And by the way, let me just say this as I close. Meditating is not like the Eastern meditation of yoga. That's not what it is, where they tell you to empty your mind. No, God wants us to fill our mind. And He wants us to fill it with God's Word, who has the power to change our life. Let's bow our heads. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I don't know what you're struggling with tonight. I don't know. But maybe you're struggling with some type of sin. God wants to set you free. I do know this, we're all struggling with some type of sin. I know that. Why? Because I do. I struggle. And I need God's help daily. So now, I don't know what you're struggling with, but will you do this for me? Will you do this for yourself? Will you do this for the Lord? Turn it over to Him. Turn it over to God. He wants to give you freedom. He don't want you to continue lingering in this being set in bondage by sin. Get rid of your pride and get rid of your and humble yourself and let God do a work in your heart. Father, we love you so much. Thank you so much for your word that has the power to change lives. I'm thinking of how God's changed John Foster's life and Lord Deshaun's and Serena's and Alex and Lord, what you've done in my life. Lord, I pray that you do a work. I don't know what the Holy Spirit has spoke to in these people's hearts and lives tonight, but you do. And I pray they'd make a decision tonight for the Lord and for their sake. For we ask in Jesus' name.